This is the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, and I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross. Today's episode features the super badass boss witch ladies of the podcast called Being Boss. So if you've never heard of their podcast, I'll give you some more information about where you can find it, how you can listen, and what episodes I recommend you listen to. And if you have listened to their podcast, then you know just how badass these ladies are. And we talk a lot about just their witchy side, because on their show they talk about being boss in business and life. They don't have as much room to get as witchy as they could, say, on the Dream Freedom Beauty podcast. So I invited them on the show to get witchier and to get down with what really, you know, goes on beneath that entrepreneur, badass boss, witch lady surface. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you learn some things, not only about how to be boss, but also about how to own your witchiness and own who you are, and let that help you drive your way into whatever your unique version of success is. If you're a new listener, welcome. I hope you enjoy this space we've created here. And the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast is all about helping you listeners, you beautiful, creative, inspiring people, to know that you have the freedom and the power to dream into being a life of beauty, a true beauty that is sustainable, that is regenerative, and that is win-win for everyone and all life. And I invite you to check out our other episodes, check out what else we've done around here, and enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Kathleen and Emily. It's so exciting to get to talk to you IRL.
Thanks right? for having us.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. And I'll start off by leading us on a quick invocation to invite us and our listeners to just get centered and get into a space that honors their awareness so they can put their attention on what they truly love and are and want to embody and are embodying. So all of us on this call and all of our listeners, just take a deep breath. If you can close your eyes, if you're not driving, feel free to close your eyes and just really give yourself this space. Affirm that this time is a time for you to be here, to honor yourself, your needs. Take a deep breath in and let your breath come into your lungs, affirming your physical presence in your body here on earth. And breathe out any tension that you can just let go of at this moment, allowing yourself to relax. And I want you to notice a bubble of energy around you. And notice if you can see the boundaries of this bubble. How big is it? How small is it? Notice the shape and size of it, if there's any holes. If it's so big you can't see its boundaries, or if it's so small it feels constricting. I want you, with your breath still coming in and out, to just simply invite that bubble of energy to find its center, in your heart. And if this bubble is too big, I want you to invite it to come into the exact perfect size, closer to you on all up, down, side to side, left to right, in every direction. And if it's too small, invite it to get bigger, expanding. And notice the color, if it has a color or a shape or a feel. If there's any holes, just wipe your hand over them, patch it up. And if you wish, throw a little sparkle and color into this bubble and just allow your energy space to be truly vibrant, the perfect container for you to be embodied in your truth right here and right now. And when you're ready, return to the awakening space, open your eyes, and we'll go on with the conversation.
Yes.
Could you see your bubbles?
My bubble was like a party. Glitter, strobe lights.
I bet it was.
It was like a Flaming Lips, Miley Cyrus extravaganza.
I want to go hang out in your bubble. That's awesome.
Right. Sometimes Kathleen's bubble scares me a little bit.
It sounds really fun.
Yes, that's never a question.
That's awesome. Did you have any bubble experience, Emily?
Oh, mine's just super zen today. I got up this morning, went to yoga, had a really like no one was in the house while I was getting ready today. So my bubble is just super chill today.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. And you know, for our listeners, while they might be familiar with your podcast, Being Boss, some of them might not be. I would like if each of you could introduce yourselves, just say, hey, I'm Kathleen, I'm Emily, so they know who's speaking at each moment.
Right. So I'm Emily. I am half of the Being Boss podcast duo, where we talk about how badass creatives can be boss of their life and work.
Badass.
And I'm Kathleen, and I'm the other half of Being Boss, obviously. And yeah, at our podcast, we're constantly just striving to be who we are 100% of the time and to really explore who we are through conversation and connection and relationships with each other and with our listeners and with the guests that we're interviewing. So yeah, that's what it's like.
Cool. Thanks. And I'll definitely have links in the show notes to your podcast and to some of my favorite episodes that I think my listeners would really like. And I'm sure we'll get more into Being Boss. But I want to also say, so the reason that y'all are on the show is because you're witchy as fuck. And like, you're so boss. And I mean, you own it. Like I can't even begin to describe to the listeners how boss you are. Like, they just need to fall into your universe and be like, what the hell? Who are these people? But I wanted to invite you on the show to give you a time and space to get more woo and to get witchy and to let that side of you just like show without having to restrict it, because you do a really great job of sharing how to like be boss at life. And there's like secret codes almost of, you know, that calls out to the witches, but it's also very straightforward. Like, anyone who's into this stuff could benefit from like building their business or, you know, just being boss at whatever they're trying to do or doing in life. So first of all, yeah, I just want to create the space for you to be woo, witchy, whatever.
Can I add something to that a little bit?
Please.
So whenever we were developing our brand, we actually explicitly questioned how much of the witchiness and how much of the woo do we explicitly integrate into our brand. And if you think about your brand, it's the outer layer of who you are. It's what people see and they say, no, thank you. And they immediately know that you're not for them. Or they say, yes, please, I would like more of that. And they're willing to explore past those outer layers and get deeper into who you are and what your business is. So as we were developing our brand, we really thought about how much of the woo we wanted to bring in. And we decided on that outer layer. We decided that the woo is something that people get whenever they get in a little bit deeper. So maybe visually, there are some hints to that. If you look at our photo shoots, we look like witches.
I love it.
Very purposefully.
But we don't use, I mean, we sometimes use the word magic, but almost in that it's magical, kind of in a more flippant, fluffy way whenever it comes to what we truly believe in our souls. It is that magic is real, but people don't get that until they venture a little bit deeper. So it's definitely something that we thought about. And at one point, and Emily, you might remember this a little bit better than I do, but at one point, we decided to be a little bit more explicit about it and talk about it on the podcast. I think it's whenever we were interviewing Bridget from Biddy Tarot. Mm-hmm. And we thought, if we continue to intentionally hide this part of ourselves, we aren't telling the whole story. Because how we are boss is by integrating a lot of our spirituality and spiritual practices into the work that we do. And I think it's just like, you know, anyone who is outwardly Christian or Buddhist or Muslim, how they might not be running a Christian business or a Muslim business, but their faith really informs how they work and how they move through their business.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it has always been a huge conversation with Kathleen and I, and one that we have regularly. Every time we do have a guest on who is a little more witchy, I'll never forget the time we had Carolyn Elliott on. It was the first sort of really witchy podcast that we did. We started the podcast with Kathleen and I, getting on the call first and me saying, look, like, you can go there with Carolyn, but I'm going to stay almost out of it a little bit to ground the episode. Because we have made some pretty clear lines as to how far we want to go with being boss. But after that first one, we've definitely dove into it more and more, but it is always a very intentional conversation because, Kathleen and I started the podcast and started our relationship, our friendship and our business relationship with business, like being very practical and being very real. And we don't want sort of this spiritual take on what's going on behind the scenes to dilute the really actionable, practical advice that we do give. So it has always been a very intentional mix. Sometimes we let ourselves dive a little deeper. Most of the time we're keeping those conversations a little more behind the scenes. For the people who join us in our Being Boss Clubhouse, which is our membership community, they get a little more of it because they are having more one-on-one conversations with us. So yeah, it's always been a very intentional conversation. The deeper you go with us within our brand, the more of it you get. But we have always wanted to make sure that what you get out of being boss is not how to use crystals and what incense is, you know, the incense of the day. Like that's not what we're going for with being boss by any means. But it does very truthfully play into what Kathleen and I create on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like that all speaks so well to, I mean, you carry out your brand and your intentions so well. And so I definitely want to talk about the chalkboard method because it's like to anyone who's trained,
the witchiest shit I do,
right? And it's amazing because to anyone who's trained in magic or manifesting or any of that, they know you have to create a container through which the universe will fill whatever it is you are creating that container for. And so you have this amazing method, the chalkboard method, that is, it's like hidden magic. It's like you're giving people this magic tool, but it's just this like straightforward thing. It's like, make the chalkboard. It's a little woo. I hear you always having to say like, have you made your chalkboard yet? And people are like, can't I just like think about the chalkboard? No, you have to do it. And God, I love the chalkboard method. So I want to know, we can talk more about it, but are there any other sort of underlying techniques or tools that you use that maybe you don't talk about as much in a business sense or in your podcast?
Well, let's talk about the chalkboard method first, real quick.
Cool.
And I can share about that. And then Emily can share maybe a little bit more about the other tools that we use. Because yes, there are lots of incense and crystals.
No.
The incense and crystals, the crystals I have down my bra right now. Yeah. But the chalkboard method is really the first time I started to blend my faith and my ability to manifest and my ability to manifest, which I think I've always had, with business. And I believe in it so much. I have so much faith in it that if I do not fill up a chalkboard in a quarter, I almost trust that there is a reason for it. Right. And so that's how much faith I have in this tool. So the chalkboard method is simply making space in the universe, like you said, to make your goals visual, to get them in front of you every day. So it's also like a very practical reminder that you have goals and that you have space for your goals. And if your listeners want to go to beingboss.club/chalkboard, they can learn more about, they can listen to an entire podcast episode and they can learn more about the chalkboard and how to make their own. I have a worksheet that they can download. But I mean, I think it also dates back. I mean, it has roots in magic, where some of the oldest forms of sympathetic magic involved cavemen drawing bison on walls and running around pretending like they were bison and catching each other as bison to then actually make that happen so they could feed themselves. That's all the chalkboard is. It is your cave wall that you're drawing some bison on. so that you can literally put food on the table.
I'm totally going to start, instead of doing blanks now for like clients, I'm going to draw them as little bison that I can color in whenever I book them. That's, and you know, just totally like, changed my chalkboard.
I'm guilty of it too, where, you know, a lot of people say, okay, I get it. I need to make space for my clients. I need to draw these blank spaces on a big chalkboard, or you can use a whiteboard or even a cork board. It just needs to be big and visual and in your face. And, they'll say, okay, I get it. But like, how do I actually fill the spaces? How do I get more clients? And I always say, have you actually physically made your chalkboard yet? And they'll be like, ooh, no. I'm like, okay, you got to do that part of it. And I think that's where you start to blend the magic, the act of committing to the intention, to making space, with the practicality of it. So right. Mm-hmm. I actually need to make my chalkboard. I'm going to turn this door right behind me into a chalkboard.
Yes.
Perfect.
Right now.
Good. And then I can see it every time we talk too.
And like I know. And so I started using the chalkboard at Braid Creative, and my sister built this amazing writing shed in her backyard. And so I transferred the chalkboard over to her house. I did some saging and smudging. And I mean, I'll even do that every month around the chalkboard. But my chalkboard is in kind of the basement of my house, and I never really see, I know, and it's not really, my house is split level, but it's in this lower level of my house where I don't get an internet connection. And so I'm never down there, and therefore, it doesn't have that. It's not infused with that same amount of life. You know, I think it's important that your chalkboard lives where life is happening in your house.
I agree. And so one thing about it is, and also just for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with it, the chalkboard method at its very core is you like take a chalkboard, or like Kathleen said, a piece of paper or whatever, and you draw what, you know, you identify what it is you're bringing into your life, and then you draw the lines for the actual spaces for, they use the example of clients. So like if you want 10 clients, you draw 10 lines and then maybe a few extra for happy surprises. And then you hang it up, and every time you get a client, you write their name in there and you honor that creative process. And it's like a physical, literal container to hold the space for new clients and to honor them when they've manifested. And so one thing that I like to talk about is your attention is like gold. What you put your attention on is you. If you aren't aware of what you're putting attention on, and if you're not putting your attention on what you truly want to create or are creating, or what's your like real true target, then you're not going to make that target come into your life. So like hearing you say that your chalkboard's in your basement, I'm just like, what, girl? I'm like, go right now.
I know. And I mean, I do feel like I have enough, power without the tool. The tool certainly helps, no doubt, just like performing magic during certain moon phases or certain seasons gives you that extra boost from the universe. I do believe that the chalkboard gives me that extra boost, but I don't need it like I used to need it, though. I mean, maybe I do. I really do.
I'm feeling you do. I think you need to dig it up right now.
No, I know.
One of the most magical things. And here's an example of why I need it. The last time I did one, I was like, okay, I haven't been as diligent. Usually I do one every quarter. I redo my chalkboard every quarter. And I realized that I hadn't done one in a while. And I told Emily, I need to make a chalkboard for us. So I put a chalkboard up with speaking gigs, immediately filled them. I left space for Clubhouse members for the Being Boss Clubhouse. And then in the corner, I wrote December. And this was kind of arbitrary. This is probably in the summer. I wrote December 2016. And I drew a little book, like just an icon of a book. The next day, an agent called us and said, I want to represent you guys. I had also talked to two agents previously who were interested in acquiring a Being Boss book through like a traditional publishing route, and they were not the best fits. And this woman that called us the day after I drew that icon on the chalkboard, she was an amazing fit. We've since close the deal. And, you know, I almost wonder, Emily, was it in December that we closed the deal?
It was
with the publisher.
I think it was in November. It was actually, it was the week after the election.
Oh,
Right.
The time we shall not speak of.
But we closed the deal, and the timing was, you know, it was 6 months out, but it happened, and it happened the very next day. Mm-hmm. So that was huge.
It's chalkboard magic. It's real.
It is. And okay. So I do love the chalkboard, and I've used the chalkboard. And I actually teach manifesting. I like legit teach manifesting classes here in Durham and online too. And it's, I've helped people get their dream jobs and stuff. I mean, I'm just like blown away by what people do when they just shift their attention. And so one thing I was thinking just this morning on my walk, I was thinking about your chalkboard method, and I was thinking about, okay, you got to be careful what you wish for, because you are going to get what you wish for. Like, if you really wish for something, even if that thing is terrible in, like, you know, good, bad respects, which we don't need to go there on judging everything, but say it's like, you get what you wish for. You got your book deal the next day. What if people don't know what they're wishing for? I was thinking they could use the chalkboard method to, like, say at the top an intention of what are my true desires, and then put like six lines and get their true desires manifested in their attention. Like, that's a really good step zero.
You know, I mean, I do believe in always having a mantra or a motto or a drawing, something like a charm or something that you include on the chalkboard that speaks to kind of your intention behind what you're wanting. Because the first time I did the chalkboard, I just made 10 empty spaces for clients. They were not all dream clients. They didn't all have the kind of cash that I needed them to have to pay for my services. So the next time I wrote the motto, I drew a magnet and I drew like a heart with an arrow through it. And I said, I am attracting dream clients with cash. And this was at the very beginning of my freelance days. And then that worked. And so we always include a mantra on the chalkboard. And really, I mean, this be careful what you wish for. This is where I'm going to put my boss pants on and just say, get specific. Mm-hmm. You know, this is our answer every single time. You just have to get specific. And the more you can get specific about your vision of what you want, where I wasn't super specific about the book, because honestly, I thought that we might self-publish. And I've learned sometimes whenever I get too specific, I close off the ability for unexpected surprises or something even better than what I can imagine. Mm-hmm. But I do like to get specific. So I knew that there was a book, that it was physical, because I drew a physical book. It wasn't like an ebook. And yeah. So lost my train of thought there, but
but I think you got your point.
Specific, yeah, about what it is that you want. And sometimes if you can just even get the feeling across through a drawing or a motto, sometimes I think that's enough. But I think that if you lack the ability to get clear in your vision, you might need to practice more tools than just the chalkboard. You know, maybe you need to start doing some other things to prep for expanding your capacity to receive.
That's a good point. And actually, so I see Emily shaking her head over here.
Yes.
Yes. And I really wanted to ask y'all about this. And in your most recent episode that you've put live at the time of recording, I think it's 107, you share some of your backgrounds, and they're kind of hilarious. Emily, you were a pageant girl, and Kathleen, you were a juggler at a Renaissance festival, right? So a Renaissance fair. So like, these are so unusual. And I was wondering, okay, these are really unusual backgrounds, and it sounds like and then fast forwarding from these like completely unusual backgrounds and your involvement of your family and maybe your family support, and then fast forwarding to your success now and to your ability to just be so boss and like own it and do it and know what you want and get it. Do you feel like your experiences as a child and the amount of support you got as children really helped you to be boss today? I mean, do you feel like you grew up in supportive households that let you really own and be who you are? I mean, how do you think that played into like what you do now and how successful you are?
Yeah, I think for me, yes and no. I mean, my parents and family were super supportive of so many things, especially around like my education. And like, they're so happy that I'm doing work that I love now, but there was plenty of rebellion that went into me getting to this place because the people my mother wanted me to marry or the things they wanted me to do whenever, you know, whenever I grew up and got a job are not the things that I'm doing now. And it's not the person that I'm married to now by any means. So they had a lot of like predefined things for me that just sort of happens. I think, I mean, my parents are, super Southern, super Christian, and dude did just sort of have like this little box around me where they could totally nurtured and supported me within that box. But once it came time for me to grow out of that box, it was a little less forgiving. So for me, that duality of super supportive, but also me having to rebel to be who I was has absolutely gotten me to this place where I know that I haven't gotten here because I've just had parents who lifted me all the way to where I was. Like, a lot of this is my own work. And so yes, absolutely. And even like, I am so grateful for them, making some things hard for me because it made me work harder. And that's another thing that I totally took from them is this idea of just working your ass off to get what you want. For them, it wasn't always working smarter. It was working harder, which made things harder for them. It's made me want to work smarter instead of harder. So yes, I definitely think that, that the happy parts as well as the very like trying parts of my childhood has definitely gotten me to this place, where I know that I had the support I needed to be comfortable being who I am, but I also was pushed enough to formulate who I am, beyond their own support.
Yeah. And my mom is dragging me to Ren fairs. So
right. That is so
my funny. Rebellion. My rebellion was quitting the medieval fair group.
Ooh.
But, you know, I mean, I think I'm really grateful to my parents, and I really think that they helped me learn how to commit to whatever it was that I wanted to be. And so I remember in elementary school, I committed to buying my clothes at thrift stores versus getting the new stuff. And I don't even remember where that came from, but truly just, it may have been the grunge style of the time. I really looked up to Kurt Cobain. So I just wanted to wear grandpa sweaters and kind of like vintage army clothes. So I was literally going to school on a Tuesday in second grade wearing a full-on Air Force flight suit because I thought it looked cool. And then I would get made fun of, right? And so I would come home crying and say, I just want to be like everyone else. And it's so funny, even as I'm saying this, I literally had this conversation with myself earlier this week. I was like, Kathleen, you need to grow out your hair. You just need to be normal for a second. Like, just be normal for a second. And I've been having this conversation with myself since I was really little. Like, just be normal. Can you tone it down a little? But my parents really helped me commit to being this nonconformist because I think that they saw that that's where my heart was. And so, yeah. And I mean, even whenever I was around 8 years old, I remember going to church one time because all my friends went to this church. It was cool. And they tried to make me sign a piece of paper where I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. Like, I had to sign a contract.
I love a good faith statement, guys. Kill me.
So they asked me to sign a contract, and like all the other kids were signing it. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a second. I was like, I'm feeling my heart, and I don't know if Jesus is in it. Like, I don't think I can commit to this. And they're like, what? You know, real super judgy about it. And at the same time, spouting off other kind of religious beliefs and really being critical of me asking questions. Like, I was just super curious. Like, wait, now, why did God make it painful for women to give birth?
That is a good question.
You know? And so I'm asking these questions as like a little kid, and it's super challenging the children, what are they called? What are the preachers for children? The youth minister. It's very challenging to the youth minister. And so I remember getting in the car and I was crying and I was like, Mom, I don't think these people know Jesus. And if they do, that's not what I'm about. I don't think I can do this anymore. And she was like, okay. So she supported that. And we never went back to church ever again. And I'm just now coming back around, you know? And so after that, I really thought I was an atheist for a really long time. And my parents were supportive of that. And I became a vegetarian and they were supportive of that. And so I do think that I got a lot of support, but like Emily, I feel like my parents left me up to my own devices a lot. Like they weren't doing it for me. They were just supporting what it was that I wanted to do. So it was still hard, even though I had their unconditional love, but I still had to figure it out for myself.
Dang. And I love it. Emily, did you go through a phase of atheism? Because I'm really interested at the point of which you decided, like, look, Christianity is not for me. I'm interested in these more esoteric things. Like, what was that switch like?
I grew up Church of Christ, which means that we went to church 3 times a week until I was 18 and I moved away and never went again. Basically. So I had some events, in my religious upbringing that made me think that this is not me at all. But my parents made me go. And so I went until, again, I moved away and I could make my own decisions. And so as soon as I did move away and stopped going, I definitely went through an atheist movement. It was like the atheist period of my life. I have this, my partner David even got me like an atheist quotable atheist book once for Christmas. My mom saw it, took me out to breakfast and asked me if I believe in God. And I was like, no. And she cried for me.
Wow.
Right. So, so I don't remember how long that lasted. But a couple of years ago, and just, I love to read. I read all kinds of things. I don't even know how it really shifted for me. As I have shifted into being more interested in the esoteric things or like whatever's going on with the stars and the tarot and all the things. I do know that I come from a line of witches. Absolutely. My grandmother for sure. My mother, even though she denies it much less now than she used to. But a long line of witches who have had to keep it very in the closet to the point that I don't even think they really realize what's going on. So as I've gotten older, I've gotten more in touch with that and I see it more in them, which makes me feel, makes me have much more empathy for them now than I did as a kid. So a couple of years ago, I do remember what happened. I realized what empathy was and I realized I had a huge dose of it where, I don't even remember exactly how it came up, but I remember having a conversation with David and I was like, shit, David, I think I'm an empath. Like I feel things. I'm pretty sure that I'm not supposed to. I know that people affect me in ways that they obviously don't you. And it just started there with, you know, what is an empath and what does this mean and how do I deal with it? The books on dealing with like your own empathy are shit, or at least they were a couple of years ago. So it really got me down this tunnel of looking into all these like new age thought processes and what's going on with people and their minds and the earth and all of those things. But saying that too, I've also had a very like deep connection with the earth. I have a degree in geography. So I even spent my college years like studying the earth and the processes like atmospheric and landscape processes and cultures and all of those things. My favorite class in school was world regional geography that dove a lot into religions. Like I'm super interested in religions of the world. So these are the things that I'm super interested in. And then at some point they all just came together and I was like, shit, I'm a witch. Right? Like I remember like having that like epiphany. Or is that what it's, that's not the right
epiphany.
Word. Epiphany. Thank you. That epiphany of like, I'm a witch and so is my mom. And my God, of course my grandmother is. And sort of having this realization that this is what's happening to me. And it all became clear and made a ton of sense.
Dang. Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And I want to say too, like, I love that earth connection and the science connection. I feel like a lot. So I actually have a master's in soil science, like totally random, right? But it's like
I had nerd out together.
I know, right? Like we could go there.
David has a master's in dendroecology or in geography, but dendro, right?
Which love
is, it. So like it could be tree nerding for hours, hours and hours.
I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. But that, so I think a lot of witches too end up, especially ones who have that connection with the earth, end up studying science because that's like a legit normal, like what's the word, like accepted way of knowing more about the earth. But as I was studying more about this, I kept getting all of these like psychic impressions and like the soil. I'm like, oh my god, I'm like a soil psychic. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I don't know, but like I am.
Speak to the dirt,
right? Right. That. And like to the plants, like the trees are like, what's up? I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm like, oh my god, I feel crazy. But then coming to own it and to learn how to be with it, it changed my life. And like, that's why I started the podcast. I was like, I know there's thousands, if not millions of other people waking up to this and feeling like, is it okay? Or is it not okay? Like, what do I do with this? With the being empathic, with being psychic, with being like really connected to the earth, but not having a place to be seen or heard or received in that way. Like Kathleen, do you have any similar sort of like shifts or moments? Because it sounds like you've been so radical your whole life. You're just like, I do what I want. Like, I'm like, where did that come from? Like,
Kathleen's
so
been
cool.
doing candle magic since she was like 8.
That's so cool.
So I started with candle magic whenever I was around 8.
And where did you learn from? Where did you learn about
well,
that?
Well, there was like a little witchy shop. You guys, I was in the medieval fair. I mean, that's like
it
witch
was everywhere.
Central. So it was everywhere. And it that's was, cool. You know, it was so funny because we were celebrating Beltane and Samhain and having feasts with the seasons and doing maypoles. I mean, because medieval fair is once a year and we would always be preparing for this one big event, which was the medieval fair. That's the performance side of things. But behind the scenes, we were very much a community, probably a lot like church is. And we were celebrating in a very spiritual way together without saying like we're witches, you know, and a lot of the people who were involved were certainly new agey, but it was just so normalized that it didn't feel weird. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of friends. I started with candle magic whenever I was, like early teens. And then, a couple of my girlfriends who were a few years older than me, but whenever you're a little kid, you know, like the difference between 13 and 16 is huge. So I had a couple of friends that were quite a bit older than me, and we all started practicing more serious magic together. And I think I bought that book, like one of those really super basic pagan books, like Earth Magic.
Like Llewellyn Publishing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I do remember craving structure. Like, is this real? Kind of having that question. Like, is this real? Am I doing it right? And so I had these couple of older girlfriends who I felt were doing it right. And we would have these small rituals together that were almost more intuitive. It wasn't like, okay, now we're going to call on our corners, you know, or anything like that. And then I'm pretty sure, I don't know for sure, but I think my mom asked them, because she was friends with them too. Like we were all doing medieval fair together. I think she was like, hey, you guys, I'm not entirely comfortable with Kathleen doing magic with you guys. For as supportive as she was, I think that maybe weirded her out a little bit. Even though like my mom is woo, like super woo. And has had psychic moments. Whenever my mom's mother-in-law passed away, she had an aneurysm in an airport and my mom had just dropped her off at the airport. And about 30 minutes later, my mom got cold shivers, had to pull over to the side of the road and vomit and was like, something terrible has happened. And it was my mother-in-law having an aneurysm. And my mom was so connected to her and to that moment. So like, clearly she's got it. Right. So I was definitely interested in like the very specific and more specifically pagan witchiness as a teenager. And then probably around college. And I also got really into yoga, which isn't magic as much, but really getting into this idea of spiritualizing my body. And so like if Emily's thing is the earth, you know, and the trees and our place on earth, mine is kind of asking the question, why did our souls choose our bodies? And really, truly believing that everyone on earth is a magician or a witch of sorts, and everyone has the power, and everyone is here for a reason. But just becoming awake to that reason is huge. And I love science too. And part of me, I thought I was going to go into medicine. And even in high school, taking all the AP biology classes and really getting, I mean, I just have always been fascinated by the body. And even today, I'm like, man, why didn't I go into medicine? My star chart says otherwise. I'm doing exactly what I should be doing. But I've always just been fascinated by that. And even now, you know, working out is essentially my hobby. But I do think about it in a spiritual context and kind of linking the discipline and the body and the functions of our body and the mind-body connection to the spirit and the soul and how all of that works together, I think is incredibly fascinating.
Mm. I'm like, ooh, dang, I want to know. I'm like, write a book about that.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't feel qualified to write a book, but I like thinking about it. And so I was going to say, like, I probably then, after that teenage dabbling, got more into the atheism side. And I don't know if that's because I was starting to go down a more strictly medical route whenever it comes to biology and the body, and or if I was just hanging out with a bunch of atheists. You know, I'm also easily persuaded. But probably around, you know, my Saturn return, like around the age of 28, I started coming back around to all these things that I believed as a teenager, and manifesting has always been a big part of my life. And even, you know, my friends and family know me for this ability. And so my sister, who's also my business partner over at Braid Creative, she'll be like, hey, we need a few more clients. Can you do your...
You're like the resident manifester witch.
Yeah, like the resident manifester. Or even, you know, I'll do, my husband really is legit atheist. And, you know, I'll be like, oh, do you want me to do some magic for you? You want me to get on that? And he's like, yes, please.
That's what I want to talk about too, is husbands.
Right. Well, and so then the final thing I was going to say is just, you know, having my kid 3 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, little guy.
But one of the most physically, spiritually linked, you know, like this mind-body connection, the most spiritual experience I've ever had and the most physical experience I've ever had. And it really unlocked like just full-blown woo.
Wow.
Full blown. And then really craving some structure. This has been a theme. Craving structure and expression around my spirituality. And so that's whenever I really started getting into astrology and tarot. My big thing is dream interpretation. I really love having these conversations with my subconscious and then letting my subconscious know that I'm listening by writing down my dreams every morning and interpreting them. And so I would love to learn more about that. I was actually just asking someone yesterday if they had any resources on like Jungian. I love like Carl Jung and like really getting into, you know, if there's this science connection. Also, you know who's a witch? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Total witch. And so like watching him talk about science and then cry because it's a spiritual experience for him. I love that. And so I think I like the more psychology side of things and synchronicity and sacred synchronicity. And so anyway, if you have a recommendation, Natalie, or if any of your listeners, I'm looking for a book about like Jung, Carl Jung, or synchronicity that is rooted in that kind of research and science, but also modern enough that I can read it. Like I downloaded some of his actual books and I was like, I can't read this. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Pretty heady. Mm-hmm.
Super heady. So mm-hmm. I need like some sort of like translator. Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff that I'm super curious in now and just full blown. It's all like science and spirituality. It's all one in the same. And, so yeah. Oh, but needing tools and like, and structure around, you know, manifesting. So that's the chalkboard, or around symbolism. So that's the tarot, mm-hmm. Or the spirit animals or whatever we want to get into. all the things.
All the things. And I think, so both of you mentioned, so Kathleen, you mentioned the embodiment, like your body is your temple and it is your vessel for being here on earth in this physical 3D form. And then Emily, you're talking about, you know, you have this background deeply connected to the earth. And part of what I love so much about what you do is you really help people embody the magic and put it into a life they love and create a business they love, create whatever kind of thing it is they're wanting to create that they really truly love. And that's something that is so special. It's like a lot, I think a lot of spiritual traditions have gone sort of this more like the physical is like bad, don't touch it, go into the spiritual and like don't be embodied and like F everything. Everything
well,
physical.
We'd just be spirits all the time. We wouldn't right? have chosen these human bodies, right?
Right. And so I love that you're like, it's like business is so spiritual. And to create business, you have to face your shadows, face your demons, face your true desires, and like go through the spiritual fire if you really want to succeed. I mean, I feel like that's like a whole like hours of conversation. Right?
That's funny. So what's totally coming up for me here is that we are using business as a spiritual tool.
Yes.
To help people like grow. And that's something that I've talked about. It may have been in the most recent episode. I can't really remember. We have so many conversations with each other. I don't even know. That may not have been recorded.
It was
at
in
all.
A dream.
Right. It may have been in a dream that I had with Kathleen. But where we've talked about how like the more we get into these businesses, the more Kathleen and I have these conversations with other people and we continue like our own like research and things separate from things that you guys are seeing even, like Being Boss especially has been a total like spiritual journey for Kathleen and I in ways that we never went into it thinking it would be. You know, having to face all of the fears and anxiety and all the shadow things, but also the conversations that we have with people who totally just back up what it is that we believe or share their own like weird like woo experiences. And people that like you would think is the most straight-laced people out there will have these conversations, and Kathleen and I are looking at each other going, which? But whatever. And I don't know. It's we have definitely ended up using our business as a spiritual tool. And again, like especially me, maybe more so than Kathleen, like super rooted in like practicality, super straight laced. Like I can have a conversation about, or we both can for sure, about like profit and revenue and all of these things, and not ever bring up anything about some quartz or like anything at all. But it certainly has acted as a tool to get us to this place where not only are we thinking about profit and revenue and how are we going to scale our business, but what does that mean to us personally? Like on the inside, how are we facing our demons and overcoming them? And even for us together, like what does it look like to support each other and that sort of thing? Maybe our like team meetings are like church once a week.
I know, I was thinking earlier whenever you were talking about being an empath, toward the end of 2016, we were both getting a little pissy. Like we were just working really hard, right? And feeling the grind of the work. As much as we love what we do, it can be taxing and especially energetically draining, especially if you're an empath and you have thousands of people wanting more of you. That feeling is intense. And I think that it takes a certain amount of power to be able to handle it, right? But I was, even as Emily's business partner and her being especially empathic, I think about my responsibility to help lift her up and then lift our listeners up. And yeah, like there's a certain amount of responsibility in being in a partnership with another witch. And even my sister, who's super intuitive, and I've joked with her before, I'm like, you're a grand poopa of a witch. You just don't even know. And we are psychic with each other a lot. And just making sure that you're vibing high for your business partner is super important, and really just vibing high for the audience that you serve, because nothing creative is going to come out of low vibing desperation or guilt or bad, hard feelings.
Uh-huh.
True that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a perfect point for something I've wanted to ask you about is, so I think everyone has certain tools they use to stay high vibing. I I think two tools I like are, one is a method to clear the shit that comes up or whatever, you know, like to clear the guilt or to move through the guilt or whatever it is. And another thing is spending time to vision and focus on that target or that aim, whatever you're aiming for. And so I was wondering, for both of you, do you have tools that you use to move through the like yucky vibes or to clear them or whatever?
Alcohol.
You're going to get us in trouble again.
Booze for sure. Yeah. I mean, for me,
then mine is sex,
right? Mine is booze and Kathleen.
Mine is
sex.
An orgasm.
Total spiritual experiences going on over here. Yeah, I think, well, for me, like being an empath, I'm also an introvert, which is not something most people expect, but is totally true. I'm also a Cancer, if we want to go there. So for me, like alone time is like, mm-hmm. is my tool. If I can separate myself from people and like physically, like it's not just like having some quiet time in the room. Like I need the house empty, or uh-huh. I need to be going to yoga or doing a meditation or something can help me get there too. But for me, it is like very physically getting away from people is super important. And that's how I'm able to just get back into my own head in ways that even now I'm just now really realizing how in my own head I'm not usually. I'm usually in everyone else's, which is kind of crazy and totally giving me like goosebumps just talking about it. But for me, physically getting away from people is definitely one of those. But also journaling lately has been helping me a lot. And not even like, you know, dear diary journaling, but just like almost like a bullet points of what's been going on in my day and how I felt about it. Just so I can like release it and then move mm-hmm. forward. Those mm-hmm. two things for me are probably two of the biggest things that I found, especially over the past couple of months, helps me stay centered the most with doing all the things that we do. Like I have to be by myself and I just have to like process my day.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Journaling is so powerful. I like to say, like, if you're feeling grief or something and you're feeling stuck by it, if you can journal to the point of making yourself cry, that you're like hitting that point of vulnerability and moving through it, then you know you're doing a good job. It's like, okay, you can accept it, let it come out and out, and then like move through it and see the other side of the gem inside that feeling of shit, you know, like the compost side when it's nice and fresh and new.
Right. Soul jokes. Good. Like it.
I've got plenty.
I bet.
Kathleen, how about you?
So the way that I move through my shit is I have a few things that I do. And one is like right now I'm in the middle of a Whole30, which is removing all of the inflammatory foods, or typically inflammatory foods, from your diet.
So no alcohol for you.
No alcohol.
Oh, sorry, Kathleen. I'll throw one down for my homie.
But I've been eating really super clean. And so that means like no grains, no legumes, no sugar, no dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically eating like eggs and organic pastured meats and
kale.
Grass-fed. Yeah. And kale. Like this is pretty much what I'm eating. But for me, again, you know, I always come to that place of spiritualizing the body and then also these habits and routines. And it's just like the chalkboard method where, you know, people are like, okay, but how do I fill this space? And you're like, are you actually doing it? And so whenever I start to feel myself feeling, off center, or I'm taking myself too seriously, I kind of get back into the disciplines. And it's like, okay, I know I need to journal. I know I need to interpret my dreams. I know I need to meditate. But knowing that you need to do the things is not enough. You have to actually physically go through the motions with your body, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going through the motions with my body of a Whole30, of working out. And as I'm working out, sending breath to my muscles and being super intentional and journaling every morning and interpreting my dreams and staring at a candle flame, going back to that candle magic, for even just 2 minutes, right? And I sometimes find that going through the motions has to happen first, and then my mindset will follow. And then the other thing, which is just super practical and not even super magical, though maybe it is laughing. And I feel like a sorority girl saying that, like, laughter is the best.
I just love to laugh.
Really, but though,
truly, listening to comedy or listening to comedians on podcasts where they're not even intentionally trying to be funny, but they're just funny as hell, watching, binging on Broad City. And I, you know, even as I'm saying this, I'm like, is this numbing? Is it numbing to be watching Broad City and laughing? I don't know, because it really does get me out of my head and it really makes me laugh hard. And then it almost like snaps me out of it. Truly. You hear all people always say, just snap out of it. That's how I snap out of it. I have to laugh. And then the other thing is, an orgasm always works usually. and then what else? There is one other thing. Oh, reading. Like reading or listening to a podcast, something that just shifts my perspective a little bit or allows me to loosen my grip on my own thoughts and think of something new. Like, that's super helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing, again, a reflection of the chalkboard theme is like, did you make the chalkboard? And doing the physical action affirms to yourself that it's worth it and you're willing. And so, like, doing the action of the meditation affirms to yourself that this time and space for yourself to recalibrate is worth it and you're worth it. And, like, yes, I'm willing to invite this alternative way of being than, you know, besides running around like a chicken with my head cut off or whatever, like, I'm willing to invite being clear and centered into my life. You have to do it and affirm through that physical action.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that where I get tripped up sometimes with magic and all the things is that I want that cause and effect. I want to see that I did the thing and I want to see the results and I want it to feel super duper linked up. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always work that way. So an example of this is every morning for a solid week, which is not that much of an amount of time, I've been waking up in the morning. I've been recording my dreams. I've been pulling a spirit animal card. I've been pulling a tarot card. I've been digging into what those cards mean. And I have felt more patient at work. Last night, my child melted down before bedtime, like epic tears. And usually that would frazzle my nerves. And even if I held it together while he was having his meltdown, I would then have to go have my own meltdown afterward. And last night I surprised myself by really feeling neutral and really feeling fine after the meltdown. I just went about my evening, had my tea, took an Epsom salt bath, and it was all good. And I don't know if I can credit that morning routine that I've gotten more diligent about, or the whole 30 that I've been really diligent about this month, but it's got to be something, because just a couple months ago, I would have lost my shit every time my kid lost his shit. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is just kind of if any of your listeners are struggling with, like, really wanting to see that linear cause and effect, sometimes it doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes you can't even link it together yourself.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, so in speaking, I've had a lot of conversations with my listeners and with my friends, and just, it seems like when you take the time to give yourself even 5 minutes in the morning to align, to affirm your own time and space is worth it, to, like, pull the card or to meditate or to dream, that shifts it, like, steers your whole ship in another direction for a day that's, like, you can stay calm and centered and still amidst the chaos, if that's what's up.
Yeah.
And again and again and again, I hear people saying that when it gets crazy, it's when they've stopped doing their morning practice. They know that that's what they have to do too. And I'm just like, then go do it. You know, like, are you really?
Right. Do the work.
Do the work. That's so Emily. So let's see, we're coming up on an hour here, but if you have a little more time, there's a couple more questions I'd like to ask you. Okay, cool.
Sure.
So one thing, is husbands and like, okay, so I have a husband who is a scientist. He's a PhD in math, you know, very rational, logical. He's agnostic. He's not so far as to be atheist, but he's agnostic. And through him just being in a relationship with me and me being out as like a total witch, you know, he's seen what I do and taken it into his rational, logical perspective and applied it to his own life in his ways on some terms. But then there's some like points where it's like, it's like the magic. I'm like, can you just like open up a little and receive the magic and not be so freaking like logical and rational for a second? And do you feel that same way with your husbands, or is like, how's your sort of magical relationship with your husbands? And
David is pretty open to all the things. It's really funny, and I find it adorable, and I love him for it. But I remember like having the conversation with him. We're like, David, I think I'm a witch, and he was like, okay. I mean, like totally immediately like accepted it. And he was like, maybe me too. It's like maybe. So right. So he's really on board for all the things. Every morning I get up and like I have a bullet journal where I write down my schedule for the day and any to-dos, and I do my gratitude for the day, and then I pull a tarot card, and usually if David's awake, he'll pull one too, and we'll talk about what his card means. And so he does that most mornings. Like, he's totally down for all the things. The other day I was like, I have my little like the witch's spell a day thing, like the Llewellyn's almanac thing. So sometimes I'll open that, and there's one that I have all the supplies, and I'm like, shit, we're about to set up some boundaries, David. And he's like, cool, what do you need? Like, he's totally down for all the things. He's pretty sure that he's a reincarnated like Norse god. I'm pretty sure. We had that conversation.
I love before. David.
Right. I know. Kathleen knows David, so she knows how hysterical that is. And maybe, right, he's a little ginger. I could see it working out. So yeah, he's totally down. He's totally game. Sometimes I know I say things and it'll catch him off guard, and I'll see a look on his face. But he never questions me. He never like is disbelieving. He's never dismissive. David's pretty magical in his own right, I'm pretty sure.
Sounds fun. And
or I will maybe he just thinks I'm a total fucking joke and is too afraid to tell me.
He's just playing along.
That very well may be the case as well.
He knows there will be consequences.
He's a little scared.
My husband also has his master's in electrical engineering, so it's not quite a PhD in math, but I've watched him do 40 pages of math with infinity symbols in it, and I'm like, if that's not magic, I don't know what is.
Totally. Totally.
And so one thing that, you know, we agreed upon whenever we got married, and this is my second marriage, and learning from the first one, I learned that I need to be given the room and space to change. And so my husband has always given me that. And I will say it was a little bit embarrassing a couple of years ago whenever I really started to get into wanting to express my spiritual feelings through rituals and routines, like pulling tarot every morning or even doing magic on the moons, you know, where I'm like literally drawing a circle and burning some paper and going through the motions. Right. But he's given me a lot of space and support to do that. And we'll have fun with it too, where he'll pull an animal card of the day. I find that oracle cards and like spirit animal cards are a little bit less intimidating than tarot cards. You know, whenever it comes
tower.
It's right. Well, and it's just like a little bit more relatable almost. Like, animals are a thing that we engage with in our physical world. They're a real thing, right? And they possess qualities and characteristics that we can relate to. And so I really like it for that reason. But, you know, for us, the conversation a lot has been in how do we raise our child. And Fox, who turns 3 tomorrow, you know, has had psychic moments with me. The most exciting one recently was I was texting my friend Lindsay, and I did not say her name out loud, nothing. And he walked up to me and goes, "Hey, mommy, where's your friend Lindsay? You know, Lindsay and Jamie," that's her husband's name. And I was like, "Fox,
you just read my mind.
It was so exciting. But I'll have him pull an animal card. And even he was recently afraid of monsters and teaching him how to protect himself against monsters and teaching them that he's more powerful than monsters. So instead of saying like, hey, monsters aren't real, being like, okay, here's how you protect yourself, because monsters might be real and you might be seeing them. I'm not going to discount that. Mm-hmm. So we've got like coffin nails on his windows and on his door, stuff like that. So anyway, the question has been in how do we raise our child? And we've just decided that if, you know, whatever it, whatever questions our kid has, that I will answer some of them and my husband will answer some of them, and we'll give him both of our perspectives and he can just kind of pick and choose what he believes. But what's cool about my husband is, like, for a while I struggled with it. I thought, okay, if you don't believe in this, does it mean that it's not real? Because I respect him so much. And if it's not real to you, does that mean that you don't respect me and what I believe is real? You know, is there still this respect here? And there absolutely is. I 100% respect what he believes. And I really do think that he 100% respects what I believe, especially whenever I'm like, hey, my tarot cards told me to give you a blowjob today. He's like, I'm down with the magic. Let's get it on.
Totally. So that's awesome.
That's the best way to get him on board.
That's a very good tip. Mm-hmm. Take it to heart, ladies. And, you know, I do want to say, like, I do feel very supported by my husband. And it's just been this journey of, like, realizing how much space I really do have to be out with people who are logical and rational. And he's like that first sort of test, and in my own strength and trust of myself to, like, be who I am and express it without, like, impinging on others, but without like holding back to, you know, or hiding.
Yeah. And I think that probably, like, our husbands or spouses or family members might just be mirroring our own insecurities around our faith, because I certainly have questions. You guys, it's not like every day I believe in magic. There are days whenever I'm like the day Donald Trump was elected, I know that all of us in our little boss coven were like, magic's not real, you know, and just feeling real sorry for ourselves. Or, you know, this kind of like, it didn't work. How many prayers did we make over the leadership of our country not being Donald Trump, right? And to feel like it didn't work, like, we're going to have these moments of like, oh, what am I doing wrong here? Is this real? And so for me, anytime I start to kind of put that on my husband, it's really just mirroring or reflecting my own insecurities. I mean, do you guys ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like this is all bullshit?
I feel like everything is bullshit all the time.
I feel like,
which means that nothing is bullshit. Everything is bullshit. Right? It's all an illusion.
It's the cosmic joke. Yeah.
Yeah. It is the cosmic joke.
Yeah. And
it's
like, basically.
Yeah, totally. And at some level, it doesn't mean you have permission to go around and be an asshole to people, but it means, like, what you get to choose what you take seriously and what you put your attention and effort and energy into. And, like, if other people are going to judge you for that, fuck that, because they're trying to, like, judge your choices in this great fucking mystery. Like, whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree with that. So, yes, I think everything is always bullshit. So I'm just going to do what I do. You do what you do. We'll high five in the middle.
I also want to clarify, just in case my husband listens to this, that it's easy to label him atheist. I just need to say this because I've actually talked about this before, maybe even on our podcast. It's easiest to call him an atheist, but he's probably a little bit more agnostic. Mm-hmm. And we've had the conversation of, then what is love? Like, if you are completely atheist, then what is love? And there is a certain amount of, like, well, firing synapses or neurons and wires, you know, whatever, biology. But that's the question that makes him, I think that he feels very spiritual about human beings and our own personal power. And that, I think, in his upbringing, there's, and not getting too much into his story, but I think it's a lot of people's story where we've been taught that God is something that is separate from us,
right,
and has its hands controlling us like puppets. And of course, if you reject that idea, then you might call yourself an atheist. Anyway, just want to clarify that. Just to be
fair. I like
there.
That. That's a good clarification.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's mirrored in you know, I think a lot of people who are witches now went through an atheist phase, because I know I did. And I was like, fuck God. Like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in some like dude in the sky judging me. Like, no fucking way. And then it came to this point where I was like, I have these spiritual needs. I was like, oh my God, I'm not Christian. Like, what do I do? Like, oh, like this, like, I don't know. Like, is it safe?
I know, you know, and I think that's why a lot of us resonate with the words, the universe, as yeah. trite as that, as trite as that has become. Have you guys seen that Amy Schumer skit where mm-hmm. she's like white girls no. and their connection to the universe? It's pretty funny, but it's good to like poke fun at it. But I think that a lot of us say that word because the word God comes with so much Christian baggage that we've been raised with that it feels really uncomfortable.
It does.
Yeah. I can relate to that hugely. I absolutely know that my little atheist phase was just a complete rejection of what I had been brought up with, and not so much that I didn't believe that there was something. It's just, I certainly didn't believe that was it. Mm-hmm. And then it was like formulating my own like inner knowing, or like cultivating that own inner knowing, that got me out of that like anger, I guess, or
can
rejection.
I share like a super duper stuff. Secret with you guys?
Yes, I love it when you share secrets.
Who would ever say no to that?
Right? Yes, please. Actually, so, you might want to say no sometimes. What is it, honey?
Maybe about a year or a year and a half ago. In fact, Emily, it was while the first time we went to New Orleans uh-huh. for our Being Boss vacation, I had this moment of like, am I a Christian? And even amidst all this, like getting tarot readings and, you know, the magic side of it, I think that there's this super mystical part of Christianity. Ultimately, yes. I have to say no, only because of who the dudes that the Bible was written by. I have issues with it. But Jesus Christ himself was like the grand poopah of witches whenever it comes down to it. And I'm really curious about Jesus Christ as a person. And I think that because I was born in America where Christianity is dominant, and I do think it's been hijacked by a lot of assholes, but I do think that I was born into a life where that's the prominent religion, maybe for a reason, and maybe it does resonate. And I believe in all of it. You know, I believe in all of the spiritual teachers. I wish it wasn't so dogmatic, or mm-hmm. I wish the Bible was just a little less dude bro. I feel like the Bible is very dude bro.
It is. Yes.
But I mean, I think that probably a lot of religions are, and that's a problem. So ultimately, I know I'm coming back around to the idea of Jesus and accepting him in my heart as my Lord and Savior, along with all the other weird witches.
Yes. So now that you've brought Jesus into the conversation, I want to say Jesus is amazing. He's like out when you just let him get in touch with you and you interact with him. Because I have some clients who are just like, I really only want to work with Jesus, but I'm not like Christian. I'm like, okay, whatever you want. So we call Jesus in, we call angels in, and I'm like so high vibing when it's done. I'm like, what is this? And it's just
Jesus.
It's this Christ consciousness too. And I believe that we each have that capacity for Christ consciousness in each of us. And he's like, hey y'all, like catch up to the game and embody this. And here's an example. Like I am here as a freaking example for you to understand the immense powers and capacity of you as a human being. Like
that's exactly what I resonate with too. And you know, in the Bible, whenever it talks about us being the children of God, Jesus was the ultimate pinnacle for that, but so was Buddha, and there were obviously mm-hmm. these other spiritual beings who figured it out as well, and I imagine that they're all having a party with each other somewhere. But I do
probably
think
like
that
the
it,
most chill high vibe party
they're all stoned
the universe is ever probably but like it's on their own awesomeness.
I know. Right. Mm-hmm. high on being.
Yeah. Oh, and my like Christian roots feel so blasphemous right now.
Oh, good.
I don't hate it, right?
Yeah. See, and I rejected those roots pretty early, but coming back around to it is pretty fascinating.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm curious about it.
Anything you want to add, Emily, especially since you probably had the most religious definitely had the most religious upbringing of anyone on this conversation right now. So
you think Jesus was a witch?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And all the things. What this actually, this blah, 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 blah.
Blarp, blarp.
The words though. What it makes me really want to do, because I've done some, obviously the history of Christianity is massive, but I've done enough research to know that the roots of Christianity aren't pretty.
Yeah.
And so I can't believe that like what can grow out of that can be that great. So what it actually makes me want to do is look at the roots of witches and witchcraft. Like that's where it makes me want to put my focus, and less on Jesus, though I think Jesus is fantastic. I think that what he stood for and what he did is amazing, and his story helps lots of people be better people, which I like, high five to that all day. But it really still makes me want to pull away from it. Mm-hmm. And not that there's any disrespect for anyone who believes it or wants to practice it or anything, but I do believe that what it is that I'm currently embodying is a faith and a practice that has been shunned and burned and put down for so many years that we don't even know like what's going on. Whenever you go think about, you know, researching Christianity, there is immense amounts of information because it hasn't all been burned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I want to go learn about like the sacred history of runes, best of luck to you. Because it's all gone. Like there's no good information out there. And so I think Christianity is handled by all the people and all the things, but like my own personal like wants and desires are in respecting what I currently feel. And that's some witchy awesomeness.
I'm feeling that, Emily. And you know, and whenever it comes down to it, and the reason why I've like kept my Jesus crush a secret is
I'm getting you a shirt with Jesus on it. It is happening. I'll make you wear it.
Oh my gosh. I think the reason why I've kept it a secret is because of those roots, the Crusades, you know, the history. I don't think I'm strong enough in my own personal relationship with Jesus to overcome all of his followers. And really, like, I think a lot of those people who make a bad name for Christianity, even back to the Crusades, were probably, I mean, I think that's warped. And I think, though, a lot of the Bible is written from that place. So, like I said, I just can't overcome the physical document that embodies and represents Christianity. I can't overcome that part of it. So I'm with you, too, Emily, on, like, really just exploring those roots of witchiness and personal power. And I think that ultimately there was a time when spirituality and life were just so integrated that there weren't perhaps all these rules around it, but there was a structure that was helpful to people, a structure and tools. And so I think that we are kind of creating them for ourselves, but it would be nice to know what the traditions are. And hopefully those traditions aren't rooted in anti-feminist leanings.
Right. And they all are. I don't know.
I know.
It's just something that I've been feeling calling to me over the past couple of years. And it is less about paying more homage to something that has plenty of homage. Mm-hmm. Plenty. Mm-hmm. And more about, I don't know, getting more in touch and finding educational resources, but also possibly making them for people who want to think about something different, something a little more personal and less dogmatic and less structured and less do it or you're going to hell.
Get your chalkboard out, y'all.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I want to say too, there's like, just because someone wants to engage with or interact with any religious figure, Jesus, Buddha, whoever, it doesn't mean they have to accept all the dogma that comes with it. And I think when you have the intention to connect with that pure consciousness of the Christ consciousness or the Buddha consciousness or even the earth consciousness and whatever consciousness you want, you can invite in and play with and party with all of them and learn from them without having to go around saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or because that is so much baggage. And there's been so much spiritual abuse around it. And there's been spiritual abuse around witch, and there's been spiritual abuse around like every freaking spiritual thing ever. So learning how to be truly free and work with the tools that really speak to you, I think, is so key, no matter what those outer trappings are.
That's such a good point, Natalie. And I think that whenever it comes back to my 8-year-old self rejecting Christianity, what happened was I threw the little baby Jesus out with the bathwater. And I think I'm just being a little more open to it again. But like you said, taking all the bits and pieces that work, mm-hmm. and perhaps tossing the rest. I don't know. I'm just kind of curious about tossing the rest, tossing what doesn't work for you.
I think that is the key. And that's actually one of the words I hope to adopt for like one of my monthly intentions this year is curiosity, because I do absolutely believe that curiosity is a thing that is dampened in any organized religion.
Yes.
Hugely. And like, I experienced this. I probably even do it to Lily just because I grew up with it. Like, I'm conditioned to do it. We're all conditioned to dampen curiosity. And I think that's one of the things about, and maybe that's one of the like exciting things about being a witch that I do love, is because I'm not, I wasn't brought up with any of it, or not very much of it. My grandmother slid some in there now, I recognize, and I don't hate her for it by any means. But I get to explore endlessly. Like, I have the opportunity to do as much research and to be as curious about anything as I want to be. The sad thing is I don't have as many resources at my disposal as I would like. But I think like I have like Kuan Yin Oracle cards that I love so much. Or I have some super new agey things that I use, or looking back into, or looking at tarot in different perspectives. I was just reading the creative tarot, like tarot for writers and creatives, which I think is fantastic. Like, I can go and explore anything as opposed to just having someone tell me what is going down.
Here's where I'm coming from with this. Like, the idea of taking what works and rejecting what doesn't. I think about even this whole 30 that I'm doing, right? Where everyone's always saying, listen to your body, listen to your body. Well, 2 months ago, my body was telling me to eat cupcakes and drink all the wine, right? And it was making me feel like shit.
You had a damn good Christmas. You're welcome.
I did. But like, you know, like it's reflected in my body and in my, even in my attitude and my ability to focus, right? And so there are times where I don't know what I don't know. I can't listen to my body because my body doesn't even know. And so I do think that there's this aspect of looking at traditions and really following it through and not rejecting what doesn't work for you immediately, because you might not even know what you don't know. So even thinking about, you know, weightlifting, for example, like you have to build up the movement and the mobility before you ever even lift a weight. And that might take months and months. So for me, I'm curious about following a tradition to the T, even if it doesn't feel like it works for me. So even coming back to pagan practices and calling on the corners and drawing the circle, I feel like it's kind of bullshit while I'm doing it. And I don't even know if it's real or if it's working. And it, you know, in quotes, doesn't work for me, whenever what I really want to do is like write down my intentions and burn the piece of paper. That's where the magic happens. But what if calling on those corners and drawing that circle really does bring another level of intention or discipline or magic to the ritual? So this is kind of where I struggle with it, because ultimately, Emily, like I'm with you where I'm like, I just want to try all the things and I want to like really explore what really works and create my own solo practice in a sense. But at the same time, and I've been craving this since I was little, that like structure and almost the rules, like, am I doing it right?
I'm going to go back and look at your birth chart in a minute. I feel like this is like a whole like Kathleen star chart conversation. Where is your Saturn and what is it doing?
Let me look.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And again, like, I think that's a level of curiosity that I admire in you. And I wish I could admire in everyone, where it's just curiosity as to like, let's try this tradition, as opposed to let's like bet our life and soul on this tradition and just assume it's all right. Like that curiosity of looking at something and questioning whether or not it's right for you or someone else and doing it anyway and still questioning it the entire time.
time. Right. I think that curiosity is key. And that testing, that glorious testing and changing, if you are a Being Boss podcast listener, is where you find out who you are. I mean, if I had just followed the traditions forever, guys, I would not be having this conversation with you right now. By any means, I'd be like a poor, suppressed woman, pissed off at the world and slave to the patriarchy.
I think that there's this amount of awareness too. Like, I think that there are certainly Christians. I have some friends who are pastors and they are truly questioning and curious and really looking at their faith from all angles every single day. I think it's the people who are just blindly saying, this is what I do. This is how it's always been done. And they're not questioning.
That with such a Southern accent, says the Southern girl.
Dangerous.
Okay, so my Saturn is in Libra, and it's in my third house.
All right.
I don't know.
Do we have any interpretation on that? I'm not astrology.
I don't know.
No, I don't. I need to look at it. Look at all the things.
All the things.
But yeah. And I think that this craving for structure and routine, bringing it back to being boss, is kind of like doing the work, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And doing the work whenever it comes to actually doing the chalkboard or writing the emails or sending them. It's not enough to just know it. You got to do it. And I'm trying to bring that same amount of discipline and structure to my spirituality.
And I'm going to add another layer on that, because it's not just about knowing what it is and doing it, but it's also being mindful throughout the entire process. Because I think that mindfulness is the thing that so many people are missing, no matter what you're doing. If you're weightlifting, or, you know, going to church 3 times a week, or if you are just doing the thing, but you're not thinking about how it's making you feel and what kind of questions could be coming from it. I think that mindfulness, and maybe wrapping this all up in a big bow, finding my mindfulness and being in a conversation, ongoing, constant conversation with myself, is what has gotten me here. And both like in this podcast, talking about being a witch, but also even like in my businesses, and even like in my family life, and having a home that I love with people that I love, it is constant, consistent mindfulness. And it's something that has grown many times over through the entire path that I've taken. And it hasn't been fun or easy. Like, I cry at myself a lot. I'm like, what the fuck do you do these things or whatever, but it all like ends up in a good, happy place. And like chalkboard method, candle magic, all the things.
It's sex magic. Mindfulness.
Sex, orgasms. It's all about mindfulness, and that is what I have found and has brought me to this place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Kathleen, in trying out different systems and stuff, it's so helpful to have a really trusted and knowledgeable and flexible guide that you vibe with. Like, having a guide or a mentor or something like that is so key to keep you on track enough to know what those parts are that work for you and what to throw out. And so, like, yeah, I just feel like that's something that I wouldn't go lift weights. I've never lifted weights, right? And like, I would be so deathly afraid that I would like rip my arm and be damaged forever, you know? So it's like having a guide, and even through a book or some, you know, somewhere someone can show you the ropes and know how to gauge whether you're like doing it right or not. And that's really key. And yeah. And so I guess that's the biggest thing I wanted to reflect back. So where can
I do pull that Hierophant card quite a bit. Looking for my mentor.
Your best buddy.
And you know, another thing too was, it also kind of speaks to the fact that each of us are on a journey to be able to hear and trust that inner voice enough to know yes or no, this is for me or this isn't for me. And that's something that it's like learning how to sift through all that deprogramming of what we were taught and grown up with to find that authentic you that's just like, so yes. Like, that's the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. That is the goal.
That's the process and the goal.
Right. That is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Cool. So there's a bunch of places people can get in touch with you. Everything from your podcast to your podcast website to your like individual work offerings, which, you know, I really want to make sure that listeners have a clear idea of like where they can go to get in touch with you. And also So I'm just approaching this in this way because there's so many levels to this. I'm like, how far do we want to go? But maybe you can share with us where people can find you for your podcast. And then each of you just a little bit about what you do in your business, because your podcast is a business, but then you each have your own businesses. And this is like why you're like so multi-level boss. So if you could just share that, that'd be great. Where can they find you? What do you do? What can you help them with?
The podcast is definitely for both of us right now, our main focus, and it's the thing that we get a lot of energy around, and it's the best place to engage with us. So you can find our website at beingboss.club. You can sign up for the newsletter and you can listen to our podcast there. We also release articles every week and we create a lot of content. So the best way to keep in touch is to sign up for our newsletter and then to subscribe on iTunes to Being Boss. If you just search Being Boss, you'll be able to find it. We are on Instagram at Being Boss Club is our handle. And then this is Kathleen. So for me personally, I think the best place to get in touch with me personally right now is at and Kathleen on Instagram. And then my branding business is braidcreative.com. And you can just go to that website to learn more.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm also going to throw the Being Boss Clubhouse in there. So if anyone is a creative entrepreneur and needs help with being boss in your life and work, you can check out beingboss.club/clubhouse to find out more about how to work with Kathleen and I through the clubhouse and be a part of that really awesome community. And you can find more about me, Emily, at you can go to my personal site at emilymthompson.com, which has all the things. And the business that I run is Indie Shopography, where we do courses for creatives who have online businesses.
Awesome. Thanks. And I want to say, like, looking at y'all's your personal brand, or not your personal businesses, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm like, goal one day be able to have the funding and project to like hire y'all's creative teams, because they are amazing. I'm just
right. We are our creative teams. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natalie. Mm-hmm.
It was really fun to speak with y'all. And thanks for showing up and sharing some more of your stories that we don't get to see on your own show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this show, and if you really enjoyed listening to Kathleen and Emily, then I recommend you go check out their podcast, the Being Boss Podcast. You can find it on iTunes or any Android listening app or at beingboss.club. They also have a free worksheet to help you make your very own chalkboard and start bringing in the magic with the chalkboard method. You can find links to that on the show notes page or over at their website. All of the links to the Being Boss podcast, to their Instagrams, and to the many episodes I recommend you check out are all listed over in the show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com/beingboss. So you can find all those links and information in one place right over there. And I hope you have fun exploring. If you're a first-time listener to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, then welcome. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I would like to invite you to subscribe and to leave a review if you enjoy what you see here, and if you enjoy this space we've created for getting a little more spiritual, a little more woo, but real, still keeping it real. And I'm just so grateful for everyone. We're coming up on a year of podcasting. It's been amazing, and I'm just ever so grateful every day for all of y'all, because without you listeners, I would still make the show, but it is more fun to have someone to actually listen to it. So I'm grateful for you.